Good morning. I'd invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, we will pick up there in just a few moments. As we begin here this morning, I'd hope you consider the question, what is fellowship? When you hear that word, what is it that you think of? I hope that you'll be thinking of that as we begin here this morning. I appreciate very much Brother Scott leading us in those songs. Those songs have got our minds focused on the idea of fellowship, the idea of unity, what it means to be together as the people of God. So I thank you very much for that. And as we are on the subject of singing, I want to remind everybody that this evening we have an opportunity to praise the Lord. Our singing on the first Sunday evening of the month happens to be this evening, and so we will be doing that and invite everybody to be here 6 p.m. as we praise our God in song. I want to welcome all of our visitors. Those of you who are visiting with us, we want to let you know how glad we are to have you with us. You are honored guests, and we'd invite you back to worship with us at any opportunity that you may have. As was mentioned in the announcements, we don't have the PowerPoint working this morning, and Joe quipped with me. He asked me before services, Trey, can you even preach without PowerPoint? And I think I've done it a few times, but it is true. Most of my lessons I do use PowerPoint. And so what that means for those of you who are following along and taking notes in your notebooks is you may have to listen extra carefully, and I may have to speak extra clearly so that is profitable for you. I will be putting a PowerPoint, or the PowerPoint slides, rather, up on the website if you want to see them there. We are continuing this morning in our series, 12 Terms That Each Christian Should Know. We've been looking in this series at these terms, these words, these ideas, and these concepts that are fundamental to the Christian faith, that are fundamental to who we are and how we live in this life. And so we've looked at several terms, such as grace and faith and baptism and sin and church and what that means. We've looked at several of these terms, disciple. But this morning I want us to turn our attention to the idea of fellowship. Fellowship is one of those ideas that I think has often lost its significance. We think of fellowship and maybe the first thing that comes into our mind is, well, some meal that we share together or some social event that we do. And so we may go out into the yard and throw a ball around and say we're having fellowship. Or we may go over to somebody's house afterwards or go somewhere and have a potluck and we'll say, well, we're having fellowship. And while I think that our modern definition of fellowship, I think that accords with that, I'm not sure if that accords with the biblical definition of fellowship, or at the very least, if it gets to the full significance and full extent of what we mean when we say we're in fellowship with one another. As we look here in 1 John chapter 4, we learn that fellowship is not primarily something that we do, but it's something that we have. It is a noun in the Greek, and I think the way that we typically use it is as a verb, that we're having fellowship or that we're fellowshipping with one another. And apart from being bad grammar, it is an incorrect way to use that word and that term. When we think here in 1 John chapter 1, if you're familiar with this context at all, and what John is getting at in his first epistle, he wants the Christians to have assurance. He wants them to have assurance of their relationship with God, that they have come to know Him, and as having that relationship, as having come to know Him, that they have this eternal life in them. And so he's going to begin his letter by saying that he's writing these things for the purpose of having fellowship with one another and having fellowship with God. You'll notice in verse 3 it says that he's writing the things that which we have seen and heard we also proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. John says, as he writes, he's sharing this message, the things that he and the other apostles have seen and heard from the beginning, this message that they got from Christ, that the things in which they had beheld with their eyes and looked upon and touched with their hands concerning the word of life. These things that they are sharing to them, they're sharing with them because they want to be in fellowship with these other people. And really what is being described here is not an action, not something that they do. He's not saying, well, I want us to all go out and have a meal together, but I want us to be in this relationship together, in this bond, in this unit together. I want us to be tied together in this way in our acceptance of the message and our acceptance of Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to say that if you've got fellowship with us, then you've got fellowship with God the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, it is that idea of a relationship. Maybe thinking of the idea, a similar word, the idea of friendship might help us in understanding what's going on here. Me and Brian are friends, and because we are friends, we may do things together. We may play a board game together. We may study the Bible together. I just chose Brian because I saw him in the audience this morning. Glad to have you with us. But because we are friends, we may do things together. But the things that we do together do not constitute our friendship. Does that make sense? We may go to a movie. We may spend time together. We may get coffee and talk about opening up a coffee shop together. But that in and of itself does not define our friendship. Those are things that we do because we have this friendship. And I think we need to understand fellowship the same way. We have this relationship with one another. We have this relationship. And so we do certain things together. We share certain experiences together. This word for fellowship, it comes from a family of words that have a particular root that means to share, to have in common, to participate or to take part in. And the idea is that you have this bond or this relationship because you share common things, common ideas, common beliefs, common practices. You may be in business together, and so in that way, you are sharers in that. That is the idea of this word, fellowship. And so John is going to continue on. He's going to say, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. And so here's the message. God is light. And God is transcendently light. He is light, and light is what defines him. And because he is light in this way, there is no darkness in him. Darkness cannot dwell with light, and darkness cannot dwell with God. And so if we are going to say that we have fellowship, that we have this bond, this commonality, this unity, this relationship with God, if we're going to claim to have this relationship with God, John says we cannot be walking in the darkness. We're walking in the darkness and claim to have this fellowship with God. We lie and we do not practice the truth. And so what we want to understand about fellowship as we begin here is that primarily it is this relationship, this bond, that is based on the things that we share in common. Here in particular, the bond that we share with God and that we share with one another, as he's going to go on to say in verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And so it works in this way, that when we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with God's people. That is how this fellowship thing works. It is on the basis of having accepted this message of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, that he came in the flesh, that he died for our sins, that he rose again. It is on that basis, that commonality that we have, that we are Christ and he is ours, that we have this fellowship with one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 9, just to give us another instance of this word being used in this way, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have come to participate in this relationship. We have come to have this bond with Christ. through the gracious work of God, God being faithful in what He did in Jesus Christ and cleansing us from our sins, now we can come and we can become partakers of the divine nature, as Peter will say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And then that idea is that idea that we saw back in 1 John chapter 1, that idea of being pure and holy and walking in the light. And that is now the commonality that we have with God. That is the basis for the relationship that we have been cleansed from sin and now share this relationship, this bond with God. And as we noticed back in 1 John chapter 1, we now have this relationship with one another. And that's what I really want us to focus on this morning, this fellowship as it pertains to one another. When picturing fellowship, the fellowship that we have with Christ, while at the same time giving us a picture of the fellowship that we have with one another, Paul uses the body as an illustration. Christ is the head, and that defines our relationship to Him, but we're all joined to Him as the head, and as the head, He directs us where to go, and we do as He wills. But He also pictured this relationship, He visualizes this relationship, and that we are members of His body. And so we relate to one another. We help each other and we work with one another and we move as the other parts of the body move. And that helps to give us a picture of what it means to have fellowship with one another. The first chapter of Ephesians, Paul brings up this point. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, in 23, if Paul is describing who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, that this great mystery that Paul is unfolding throughout the book of Ephesians, that Gentiles and Jews can to become part of the same body, part of the same group through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 22 it says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Paul's going to pick up on this later on in chapter 4 as he talks about us being the body of Christ, and as the body we work together in this work of ministry for the building up of the body. In chapter 4, in verses 15 and 16, he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It is this picture of togetherness and unity, and what we need to understand is the idea of fellowship is inextricably tied to the idea of unity. That if we have this fellowship, this bond on the basis of sharing Christ, that necessitates that we be unified, that we be together. And that is part of this idea of the body. And so when one member hurts, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, we all suffer together. When one member has reason or cause to joy, we all rejoice with them. And we cannot say to any part of the body that it is not necessary or that it is unneeded. Again, this idea of unity, this idea that each member is indispensable to the body. And so I hope this in some way gives us some idea of what it means to have fellowship with God and with one another, that it is this relationship, this bond that we share based on this commonality that we have in Jesus Christ. We have a common set of beliefs. We have a common Lord that we follow. We have a common blessings and a common hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We also have common sufferings that we share in this relationship. Paul pictures this as a body. I want us to turn now to Acts chapter 2 and consider some of the expressions of this fellowship. Again, taking that idea of friendship, if me and Brian are friends, based on that friendship, we may go do things together. Based on the fellowship that we have, we do things together. We participate together. That fellowship manifests itself, that relationship manifests itself in the things that we do. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, we have here described this fellowship of believers who were now bonded together because they shared Christ in common, because they now had come to Christ as the Savior of the world, as the one who would wipe away their sins. They had now come to Him under this understanding. And so they shared the same faith and devotion. And so it says in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." I want to stop there for just a moment. We see in this early group of believers, which was over 3,000 souls here in Jerusalem, that they were doing things together as a result of the fellowship that they had, as a result of the bond that they had in Christ. Because they were in Christ and they shared Christ in common, they did certain things together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and then it says, and the fellowship. And I think he's going to go on to say how they devoted themselves to the fellowship. That they had this bond, this relationship with one another, and they were devoted to that. And so they broke bread together. And here in verse 42, I believe the idea in this context is of partaking of the Lord's Supper with one another. I think that is most likely what he is talking about. He's going to talk about breaking bread as it relates to common meals just a little bit later on in verse 46. But here, I believe, when he says to the breaking of bread, I think he is talking about Lord's Supper, especially in connection with prayers. And this is an expression of our fellowship. It's interesting. Sometimes we will refer to the Lord's Supper as communion. That comes from that same idea, that same word family of having something in common. It is this common meal that we share, and it is common in a special sense. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as Paul is talking about this feast, this meal that we have, and he's juxtaposing it to these meals that were going on in pagan temples, and so he's giving this instruction not to to go and eat this meat sacrificed to idols and in these temples. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 16, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ?" Now, that's our same word in the Greek, koinonia, that we are taking our word fellowship from. Is it not participation? Is it not fellowship in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not participation in the body of Christ? Paul says that when you take of the bread and when you take of the cup, you are participating with Christ in a special way. And I think this is part of the fellowship that's going on back in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, an expression of that fellowship, that they were doing this together week by week, partaking of this meal. He goes on to say in verse 17, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Here Paul ties this participation, this fellowship with Christ, and also this idea that this unity or this fellowship that we have with one another. And maybe that gives us some understanding of why Paul is so upset when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we read earlier, as we partook of the Lord's Supper, why he is so upset that they are divided in this matter. Because this was a way, this is an expression of the fellowship that they had, or at least it was meant to be. And they were trampling all over that by dividing and not waiting on one another and treating it as just a common meal. And the idea there is not a special meal. Back in Acts chapter 2, he also mentions this idea of prayers, this breaking of bread and prayers. And what we want to see here is the idea of worship. This is something that we do together. We worship together because we have this common bond in Christ. That is why we are gathered here together this morning. Because we all have the same hope and the same faith, and the same Lord and the same God whom we are worshiping. It is that commonality that brings us together to worship. It says in verse 43, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." And all who believed together had all things in common. That word common there, that's that same root that we've been talking about. They're sharing in these things. It was because they had this relationship with one another through Christ that now they began to share their possessions. There was a great need in Jerusalem. As now Jewish Christians had come for the feast of Passover and now had stayed through Pentecost, and now they are Christians, now they're staying here in Jerusalem is the picture, and then they're necessarily going to need some provisions because they did not plan to stay this long. And so it seems that everybody is doing their part and giving of themselves and of their means voluntarily, is the idea in verse 45, that they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Well, why were they doing this? Well, it was because they had this fellowship or this bond, this relationship with one another through Jesus Christ, that they shared their goods and helped one another in this way. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 26, Paul is going to use this word fellowship to talk about a contribution, to talk about this act of benevolence. In Romans 15 and 26, it says, "For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution." And that word for contribution is that same word that we've been talking about, koinonia, that we translate fellowship, made some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. "For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their blessings, their spiritual blessings, they also ought to be of service to them in material blessings." Here's the idea. That they have this common relationship with Christ and with one another. Because of this relationship they have with one another, because they share these blessings, they're also going to share their material blessings with one another. Because of the bond that they have. Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people." They came together each day at the temple. And what they were doing at the temple, as we learn later on in chapter 3 and in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, is that there was prayer going on and that there was preaching going on. And so they were gathered together for these reasons, to pray and to worship and to hear the word of God as it was being preached. They were doing these things together again because of the relationship that existed. They were breaking bread in their homes. And I think here is the idea of that common meal, that they're gathering together as we would when we go to various homes or have potlucks and things like that, just to share this time together. And really, this is the idea of fellowship that is so prevalent today. And we often define fellowship in this way, that it is just the sharing of a meal. And this might be an expression of the fellowship that we have. This might be something that we do because we have fellowship. But the sharing of the meal is not the fellowship in and of itself. He goes on to say that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And while it's not explicitly stated here, I believe that it is pretty necessarily implied that these people were going out and they were evangelizing. They were sharing the message of the gospel. If you were here last Sunday evening, Sam gave us delivered a great lesson on preaching Jesus. And this idea that we are the ones that God uses to carry out his message. Well, I think that's the implication here. If God is adding to their number each and every day, that means that people are going out and preaching the gospel. And that was an expression of their fellowship, that they work together in this regard. The fact of the matter is, if we've come to share in Christ, that means that we've also come to share in Christ's cause. And so we work towards that end. And so Paul's going to say in Philippians chapter 1, in verses 27 through 30, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened by anything, by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you for that for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but should also suffer for his sake, engage in the same conflict that you saw that I had and now hear that I still have. Paul says you need to stand side by side, strive side by side, contend for the faith is the idea that we are the ones who are bringing out and carrying out the work of the kingdom. That we are engaged in this conflict. And really, I think that is a key idea, or key expression of fellowship that may be missed sometimes. And that we have been brought into this relationship, into this partnership with one another. Not just so that we can sit in a pew, pat one another on the back, not just so that we can live comfortable lives, but so that we can get out there and put our hands into the work for which God has for us. And that we participate and we are partners in that regard. And so Paul is going to describe these brethren in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5 as being partners with him in the gospel. Part of that, of course, was their support that they gave to him. But part of that was the work that they themselves were doing. And I hope that we don't lose sight of that. That in this fellowship, in this partnership, this relationship that we have with one another, we are to work together to build and to grow the kingdom. That is part of why God has called us into this fellowship in the first place. Certainly there are several other expressions of fellowship that we could look at throughout the scriptures. The idea of bearing with one another in Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, that we bear with one another and that we help one another when we are caught in sin. And we do that because we share this common bond and this common goal, this fellowship that we have with one another. I don't want to end by talking about the implications of our fellowship. What we've been trying to do in this series of lessons is not only know what a term means intellectually, but what it means practically. What implications and applications it has on our lives. And when we think about this idea of fellowship as it relates to one another, we've got to understand that there is a responsibility on our part there. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that passage that we referenced earlier, Paul writes to those who have been called as saints together in every place, those who call on the name of the Lord. He writes to those, again in verse 9, who were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And because they were called into this fellowship, because they now have this relationship with one another, Paul is going to go on to say in verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul says you've got this relationship, this fellowship, because you share the same Lord, you share the same hope, you share the same beliefs, you share the same blessings, all of these things that you share in Christ, and that put you in this bond, in this relationship with one another. Therefore, be unified, be united. Do not be divided. And of course, that was the major problem at Corinth, that they were divided over many things, over who baptized them, over who had the greater spiritual gifts. They were divided even when they partook of the Lord's Supper, that very thing that was meant to symbolize and express the fellowship that they had. So Paul says, be unified, be united. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, in the book of Ephesians, Paul has been talking about this great mystery that Jews and Gentiles can come to be part of the same body. They've been called both into as adoption of sons. They've been called to be saints. They've been called to God and reconciled to him in the exact same way. And so then Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says, you've got this calling. You've been reconciled to God, and now you're in this relationship with God and with one another. And because you are in this relationship, because you are in this state, because you've been called in this way, you've got a responsibility to live in a way proper to that. And he defines that here as as walking in humility and gentleness and patience and love, that you bear with one another, that you are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's interesting, he says, that you are maintaining the unity of the Spirit. You have this unity, you have this relationship, this bond, this fellowship, because of who you are in Christ, because of what Christ has done for you, because the Spirit has called you into this relationship with Christ. And so Paul says, therefore, maintain it. Act in humility towards one another. Picking up on the theme that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2, it is this idea that I don't see just my needs. That because I am now in this relationship with other people, in this body, in this unit, working together with them, we share these things in common. Because that is the case, I'm no longer only going to think of myself. I'm not going to think of myself as important, but I'm going to count others as more important than myself, as we read in our scripture reading. That I'm not only going to look to my interest, but I'm going to look to the interest of others. He says that we are to act in gentleness towards one another. That we're not to be just someone who steamrolls other people, but we are to act gently or meekly with other people, that we are to deal with one another with patience. We are all imperfect people, and there are times that we need great patience because of that. Because we are dealing with other people who are imperfect. Because we are dealing with the faults, and we are bearing with the faults and the weaknesses of other people. And that requires a great deal of patience. And so we've got to understand that as we are in this fellowship, and as we're working together, and as we're trying to build one another up in love and grow this body, that we've got to work in this way. Ultimately, what this is going to call for is sacrifice. Again, that was an idea in Philippians 2, that you're not thinking of your own interest, but you're thinking of the interest of others, that you're putting yourself, your will, your time, your money at stake for other people. We do that because we have this fellowship with one another. The church in Acts chapter 2 was doing that, giving of themselves and their possessions because they had this fellowship through Jesus Christ. And so I want us this morning, if you've got nothing else from this, I hope that we understand that this idea of fellowship primarily is an idea of something that we share in common, something that bonds us together. This idea that we now have this relationship with one another because we have a relationship with God. And so the question that I'd ask each and every one of us this morning is, how are we doing it? Considering the implications of the fellowship, considering the fact that we have been brought into this one body, and therefore Paul calls us to be unified, how are we doing in that? How's my patience? How's my humility? You know, when we were working on various things together, we just had VBS. And we had a lot of women working on that, and I won't say anything else about that. We had a lot of women working together, and they had to defer to one another and help one another, and there couldn't be one that was just taking over and leading in that. They all had to work together. We have to work together in what we are doing here. That requires, again, that we be people of patience, of love, of humility, people of gentleness as we work together. And so, the admonition that I would leave everyone here with is that we've got to be eager to maintain the unity. We've got to be devoted to the fellowship as they were devoted to the fellowship back in Acts chapter 2. And therefore they did these certain things together because of their devotion to one another and to the relationship that they have in Christ. People talk about having fellowship with a church or being right with a congregation, and yet they avoid attending at every opportunity that they get. They use every excuse not to be there. They're never at any of the extra things that the congregation does in order to promote edification and the building up of the body. So oftentimes we ask the question, about church membership. And maybe we need to start asking the question about fellowship. Because I think that is something that is more demonstrably seen. It's not just your name in a directory, but it's the relationship that you share and what you do with that. Hope that these things have been helpful to you this morning. As we close, God has called us to light. He has called us into this relationship with Him, that we can be with Him, that through His Son we can now have forgiveness of sins, and this relationship that was lost in Eden, this relationship can now be restored. That's what God has called us to. He's called us into fellowship with Him. It requires that we humble ourselves, that we admit that we are sinners, that we realize the need for forgiveness, the need for Jesus Christ. When we come to Him, we plead to Him for that forgiveness, that we might have a clear conscience. Peter describes the way that we do that is through baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. That in baptism we are recognizing that this relationship has been severed, and that we want to come back to Him. And it is only through God cleansing us that that is able to happen. Do you need to come to God this morning? Would you like to be in fellowship with Him? If so, and if we can help you in any way, we'd ask to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.